Do guardian angels exist? Now, when people refer to guardian angels, they're usually referring to those spirit beings whose job it is to guide and mostly protect an individual. Maybe you could even think like Clarence, right? And It's a Wonderful Life, right? And how an angel gives his wings. Where did this teaching come from? Well, let's start with just man's historical teachings on guardian angels, and then we'll look at Scripture itself. As early as the 5th century A.D., Roman Catholic theologians such as Jerome taught that each human had an angelic being assigned to him or her from birth in order to guide them. You can actually read as early as the 5th century records of theologians, especially the Roman Catholic tradition, teaching this idea of an angel being specifically attached to a being from birth. In 1608, the then Pope Paul V set aside a special feast on the Catholic religious calendar dedicated to the honoring and veneration of guardian angels. That was in 1608. So we're really dating our history here. You can see how long this has been around. We'll really fast forward a couple decades to March 1997. Pope John Paul II reaffirmed this belief in guardian angels during his Easter Monday address, and so that really settled it in Catholic culture, and it has been that way forever. Judaism, likewise, teaches guardian angels exist. Jews also teach that each of the 70 tribes or each of the 70 peoples or nations mentioned in Genesis 10, the Table of Nations, had an angelic being assigned to them with the archangel Michael assigned to the task of protecting Israel. That's kind of a brief, really quick overview of church history where that may have come from. Now, the term guardian angel itself, if you were just to do a search in your scriptures on guardian angels, you won't find the term guardian angel in either the Old or the New Testament. You won't find those words. There are two primary passages often used as proof texts, to argue that guardian angels exist. First being Matthew 18, verse 10, and the second being Acts 12, verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 10 says this, "Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven." So you could say, from Matthew 18, verse 10, sure seems like each child has an angel that's reporting directly to God on behalf of that child. So there's one proof text for you. Acts 12, verse 15 says, "And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, It is his angel." Saying he's, and again, you can see where they might think, well, there's an angel. Now, a number of theologians from these two have concluded from these two verses that every believer must have his or her guardian angel. Matthew Henry, for example, did in fact believe in guardian angels, but others disagreed with his claim that there are specific angels assigned to individuals. Barnes, in his Barnes Notes on the Old Testament, specific to Psalm 91, verse 11, says this, "As an additional illustration of his indulgent mercy and compassion for our weakness, he represents those whom he has ready for our defense as being a numerous host. God," he's talking about he, God, "does not assign one solitary angel to each saint, but commissions the whole armies of heaven to keep watch over every individual believer." By the way, we've been going through the names of God. We finished them now. We'll see if anybody remembers what name of God we're talking about when we talk about the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Sabaoth is what he's referring to. He's saying there's not one specific, but the Lord of hosts. John MacArthur, a more modern author, has the same thing. He says, "Neither of these texts," referring to Matthew 18 and Hebrews 1, verse 14, "however, nor any other scripture," according to him, "teaches the idea of an individual guardian angel for every believer, as Jewish tradition in Jesus' day taught." You might say, well, you just gave two competing beliefs. You even had some good men on two different chasms. Matthew Henry is certainly a good man. Charles Spurgeon actually said, every pastor should read Matthew Henry on his knees, is how he viewed it. So he's a good man. And you've got Barnes. He's been around for a while. And MacArthur, they seem to be good men. What do you believe? What does Pastor Caleb believe? Well, based on, and this is Pastor Caleb's interpretation tonight, based on Matthew 18 and Acts 12, verse 15, I believe it is possible that they exist. But I also believe further that the proofs for them would be weak at best. The proofs to support the claim are very weak. For example, the angels of the little ones in Matthew 18, verse 10, the proof text we read, are said to be in heaven. There's no mention of them specifically being with the little ones. I do believe that the primary responsibility of righteous angels is to serve Christians who will later inherit salvation. Hebrews 1, verse 14, which says, "Are they not all ministering saints, sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" It is my belief that Christians are, in fact, watched over and protected, not by one, but by many righteous spirit beings. For example, from Scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17, Elisha and his servants were surrounded, the Bible tells us, by many glorious angels. Luke chapter 16, verse 12, indicates that several angels were involved in carrying Lazarus' soul to Abraham's bosom. Matthew chapter 26, verse 53, says that Jesus could have called on 12 legions of angels to rescue him if he wanted to. Psalm 91, verse 9 to 11, also informs of this belief. "Because thou hast made me Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall be no evil befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee," angels plural, "to keep thee in all thy ways." Evidence proving guardian angels exist and that God assigns one to every human upon his or her birth is really lacking in Scripture. You won't find that in Scripture. We cannot emphatically answer from Scripture whether or not each believer has a named one solitary angel assigned to them, but we can clearly see that God does use angels in the immense blessing of being a ministry to us. And to that end, whether we have an angel assigned to us to protect us or not, we have an ever greater assurance from God that if we are His children through faith in Christ, He, God, works all things together for good, that good being that we would be conformed to the image of His Son. More than that, we have been promised by God that He will never forsake us. He will never leave us.